you. So I have to say I'm a bit kind of sort of chomping at the bit and a bit excited in many respects about getting stuck into to preaching this word this morning, because it's sort of fitted in with some of the things that have already come out this morning, which is always really encouraging. And Freddie's giving me a nod. Oh, Dad, you need to move because he can't see me. Oh. And I'm really excited about point three of my preach this morning. Oh, so hopefully I won't rush through too quickly to get there, because I think the third point of what I've got to say this morning ties in really well, and I'm just really excited about it. So here we go. So the title for this morning is Get Up, It's Your Responsibility. And this all really springs from, if you remember at the beginning of the year, we all started looking at what our one word for 2017 might be. And as I've meditated on that and thought about that and gone through it, God's really spoken to me in a really special way. So, and I'm going to share some of those things with you. And if you remember, when we went round the room, the word that God had given me was about being brave and about being unafraid. And I needed to be, and this meant for me, I needed to be more out there in my faith. I needed to be more active. And there were a number of things that I was going to need to do to get there. So what I would just encourage you as well is, so you've got these one words, what have you done with them? Have you lined it up with the word of God, which is what happened to me was, you know, God gave me my word, which was brave and afraid. And then he led me to his word to give me a scripture that I could hold on to, that I would be able to refer to as I went on this journey with him. So if you haven't got a scripture that lines up with your one word, then I'd really encourage you to go away and find out what that is. So the scripture that God led me to was Ezra 10 and verse 4. And Ezra is not usually a book that, you know, you would go to ordinarily. And the scripture that God gave me, and I'm going to read it in four different versions because it's just great in all of them, is this. And it says, "Rise up, this matter is in your hands. We will support you, so take courage and do it." That's the NIV. In the English Standard Version, it says, "Arise, for it is your task, and we are with you. Be strong and do it." In the NASB, that's the New American Standard Bible, it says, "Arise, for this matter is your responsibility, but we will be with you. Be courageous and act." And then lastly, in the New Living Translation, it says, "Get up, for it is your duty to tell us how to proceed in setting things straight. We are behind you, so be strong and take action." So for me, what the really important bit in this was about arising. That means as well from going from a position where I was maybe stationary or lying down or inactive to a position where I was active. And that was really about my faith and all of those kinds of things. And so what I did after I got my one word and my scripture, I needed to set some goals for the year that were going to help me outwork this one word in a way. And whilst some of my goals might be about what I would like God to do for me in my professional life, and there are some things that I want to see God do this year, you know, if it's all in his will, most of it was around, for me, about the spiritual things that I needed to focus on to get me from A to B, to have more faith, to be out there sharing my faith more actively, to be able to lead more effectively. And it was a lot about, I suppose, spiritual discipline. So one of my goals for 2017 is I will read the Bible in a year, you know. It's as simple as that. And used to be, well, when I was a baby Christian, I was just like all over the Bible and used to have competitions with, if anybody remembers Kevin Lynch, everybody remember Kevin Lynch? I used to have Bible memory verse competitions with him, which was all sorts of good fun. And I realised I kind of lost a bit of that kind of hunger for the word. So if God was going to, you know, is asking me to arise and have faith and stand up, that's one of the things I need to be disciplined about for this year. And as I've kind of thought about this scripture a bit more, I've identified some things that I think are really important for us as a church which again is really good, isn't it? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to try and break that scripture down into two parts, but I've got 3 points. I've got a bridging point because I think it's really important. So here we go. So point number one, and this bit we'll focus on, for this matter is your responsibility. It's in your hands. It's your duty. So the question is, so what is it that you need to be getting up and taking responsibility for in this season? What is it that you need to be standing in faith for? And as I've been thinking about this more over the last couple of days, I thought, oh, is that about doing stuff? Yes, I think part of it is, but I think part of the taking responsibility is, what is it that you are needing to have faith in at this time to take responsibility for? And in 1 Chronicles and 28 and verse 10, it says, "Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house as a sanctuary. Be strong and do the work." So it's quite similar to the Ezra scripture there. We're being asked to build, we're being asked to do, we're being asked to be strong, and we're being asked to do some work. And I think that's in the area of faith and building our faith and standing firm and being courageous. And for many of you, this could be, you know, in a number of areas. It might be in one area, it might be very small, it might be very big. It could be families, it could be friendships, it could be finance or the provision of resources. It could be about future direction. It could be that you need to have faith in a particular issue that you need to be free in. There could be the social action things that we've talked about many times, that you need to have faith that God's going to do something and move you into a new place. And as I said this week in home group, when we were talking about the prayer and fasting week, we really focused our attention on the matters that God has given us to be responsible for at this time and to have faith in. And those are things we need to assume both practical and spiritual responsibility for. But what we need to do is, we can't just focus on those things when we've got a prayer initiative or we've got a week of prayer and fasting. We're encouraged to kind of continually be on it and have these things at the front of our minds until we see completion, resolution, or the answer. We can't just go, well, we've done our prayer and fasting, so that's okay. What's happened this week? Have you prayed about those four things? Have you, you know, been responsible? God's given those matters into our hands at this time. We need to take responsibility. Just some words to encourage you from the Bible about being continually, you know, with God and seeking him. So Psalm 34 and verse 1 says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." 1 Chronicles 16 verse 11 says, "Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his presence continually." And then in Luke 24 and verse 50 to 53, when Jesus went up to heaven, it says, "And he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God." You know, I really think that thing that came out of the prayer and fasting thing about us being focused, being continual, being like Anna in the temple, having a lifestyle of prayer and fasting and discipline is really important. And also what God's shown me as I focused on this, right, what is it that I'm in faith for? There's a quote by Rudyard Kipling. It says, "Nothing is ever settled until it's settled right." And as you know, I work in an environment where we work on projects. And if you look at what the definition of a project is, and you're being really purist about it, which some people try to do all the time, it's something that's got a start and it's got an end. And when it's done, it's done. And the struggle we have oftentimes in our world is, no one knows when the end of the project is. No one knows when it's ready to hand over into what we call a kind of business as usual environment. And we have this debate at the end. Is it ready to go into business as usual? Is it finished? Is it a thing yet? And it's you know, and projects shouldn't go on indefinitely because it ends up costing time, money, and all the rest of it. And we just, you just can't keep going on forever. And I think it's a bit like that with God. So he gives us things that we need to have responsibility for, we need to have faith for, and he will bring them to completion. there will be an end, but it's in his time frame, and it's for us to walk closely with him in his way and not our own. Amazing testimony, Michelle, this morning. You know, you have had to walk faithfully of God, not knowing when the end is, but now you can go, ah, we've got the end now, there'll be more. But for those three things, God's brought that to completion. And what we need to be careful about, and Ian said this last week, was we can't determine what those outcomes look like. You know, we need to be really careful that we don't base what we think finished is on what we think it is, what the world might think it is, or in our humanity. It is all about God and what he thinks. So some questions for consideration, and you can just take these away, mull them over, think about them. So, do you regularly review your progress against goals, any goals you've set, or the promises that God's given you? So if you know that God's given you a promise, how often do you take some time to go, right, where are we actually at along this journey to receiving the promise? So what actions and tasks have you taken to enable progress against the promise? You know, the very minimum is that actually, if it's a promise that God's given you and it's really, really important, that you should be praying about that daily. That's kind of the minimum action. But actually, there'll be other things that you can do to bring those things about. So the knitting of that blanket was part of that journey. Yes, there was a lot of prayer underpinning that. But the knitting of the blanket, the task, the action, again, had to, you know, that was a really important part of bringing that thing to completion. Are there new actions that you need to take to enable the promise to be realised? Are you at peace in the matters that you've been given responsibility for? And what does finished or success or done look like? So again, quite often when we're doing project plans or we're writing project definition documents, we have to write this bit in it that what is success look like? And you have these critical success factors and you can say it's done when these things are met. Do you know what the end point looks like? Has God shown you that? Have you asked God to show you what his end point looks like? So that's point one. So number two, and this is kind of a bridging point. It's sort of, it does relate to the scripture, but it's just something, you know, God laid on my heart, because I think sometimes we can be held back from taking responsibility for the things God has given us to have faith in. And there are a number of things that cause us to be held back or to not act. So the first one is fear, and that can be fear of failure, fear of man, or any other fear. And what we need to do to help us to overcome that, and I suppose it's easier said than done, but we kind of need to do it, is we need to kind of cultivate this sense of, or an attitude, I suppose, of whom shall I fear? Or, you know, we're going to be robbed of the peace to pursue the promise. If we don't stand up and say, whom shall I fear? We'll just be robbed of being able to progress with what God wants us to do. And Psalm 27 encourages us to be confident in God and not to fear and to be confident. And here's a couple of verses from Psalm 27. Verse 1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Verse 3 says, though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. So can you, kind of in the midst of the thing that God's given you to have faith for, can you say, even then, in the darkest times, I will be confident that God is going to resolve this matter? And then verse 13 says, I remain confident of this, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And in the testimonies that we've heard this morning, we can stand and we can say that, you know, we have seen, you know, the goodness of the Lord in Vicky's situation, in the situation that Dave referenced, in Michelle's situation. We have seen the goodness of God in all of those things. The second thing that can stop us from taking responsibility or having faith is apathy and laziness. And Proverbs talks a lot about the impact of doing nothing. And I've picked a couple, and they're from the Message, because the Message kind of cuts to the chase on some of these things. And Proverbs 6, verse 9 to 11 says, you lazy fool, Which, that's a good encouraging statement, isn't it? Look at an ant, watch it closely, let it teach you a thing or two. Nobody has to tell it what to do. All summer it stores up food, at harvest it stockpiles provisions. So how long are you going to laze around doing nothing? How long before you get out of bed, a nap here, a nap there, a day off here, a day off there, sit back, take it easy. Do you know what comes next? Just this. You can look forward to a dirt poor life, poverty, being your permanent house guest. So none of us want to be in that situation where, because we've been inactive or we've been lazy, that we end up in poverty. And I suppose here the poverty is around, you'll be robbed of what God actually wants to do. It's not about being poor money-wise, although it might, could be, you know. It's about actually the poverty will be in what you've been robbed of in God. Proverbs 10 verse 4 says, sloth makes you poor, diligence brings wealth. And last night, Dave was looking at Steve Irwin's son on some YouTube clip, and it was amazing. And this child is just like the image of his father, and it's amazing. And he had a sloth, didn't he? And apparently, what is it, the sloth, it moves so slowly that moss grows on it. So think about that, you know, sloth. And so Proverbs 10, 4, verse 4 says, sloth makes you poor, but diligence brings wealth. So imagine that, are you moving so slowly that, yeah, moss is growing around you? Which is, yeah, hadn't thought about that. Proverbs 12, verse 24 says, the diligent find freedom in their work, the lazy are oppressed. So there is freedom in activity, and there could be, you know, oppression in being lazy. Because again, you know, you're not going to see the fruitfulness of what God wants to do for you. And I just really believe that, you know, building in the kingdom does require activity and action. It requires diligence and perseverance. It doesn't just happen. Sometimes, yeah, you know, we're really blessed and God will do something for us and we'll go, oh, we didn't have to do anything to make that happen. But somebody did. Somebody would have done something to make it happen. These things don't just happen. So the things, you know, that God's given us, you know, that we're really seeking him for, so the families, the employment stuff and all of the rest of it, it won't just happen. We've got to be active and have faith to kind of make these things happen. So quite often we are challenged to get up, to arise, to do something, and there's always something you can do. You know, I've said the minimum is pray. That's, you know, an activity in itself. But what else? So is it a kind word? Is it an act of kindness? There's always something we can give of ourselves. And it says in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 5, they even did more than we hoped, for their first action was to give themselves to the Lord. So we give ourselves to God in prayer and worship and discipline and all of those kinds of things. But then we give ourselves to others. And you may say, well, I've done this, I've prayed this, it hasn't worked, so I'll do nothing and give up. But it's not the answer. You might need to try something new. You might need to get a new perspective on the problem that needs solving or the promise that God's been has given. So God might give you the simple promise that, well, I suppose it's a simple promise that you're going to have a baby, and you take that promise but nothing happens. You've still got to keep on doing the things that will make that baby come to fruition. It's no, I suppose that was, yeah. You know, it's not, you can't just do nothing. You know, it's not going to happen if you just sit and do nothing. That's probably a bit, I never thought I was going to say that, but it's kind of true, isn't it? It was pathetic. And it's not someone else's job to take responsibility yeah, for the things that God's placed in your hands. It's what it is it's someone else's job to cheer you on as you go on the journey. Yeah. We'll finish the baby analogies now. But that is, it really is important. Pete and Michelle stood by Samantha and Luke and, you know, encouraged them, stood with them. Every moment of that journey, they were there. And I'll come on to that. Not every moment, no. Oh, dear. Right, we're finishing there. But I'll come on to that bit in a in a moment, because that's the really important bit of what I want to share today. Anyway, lack of faith. Another, thing that holds us back. And having a lack of faith is a bit like having no fuel in the tank of a car. It can't run on empty, and neither can we. We have to have that full tank of fuel to keep us going. You know, it's an encouragement that having the faith the size of a mustard seed is okay. You know, it says in Matthew 17 and verse 20, Jesus said to them, "Because of your little faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." The mustard seed's okay, but it should only be the starting point. It's not the end point, because faith is never meant to remain small. And you need to, again, it's a thing that you need to continually do and practice and push the boundaries of. We need to continually apply it. The seed shouldn't remain in its packet. It needs planting in the ground to enable it to grow, develop, and then be shared with others. So, yeah, if you've got a little faith, that's great. But, you know, keep on practicing. Keep on pushing the boundaries of what you can see God doing. And, you know, Hebrews 11 says, in verse 6, it says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please him." And that's a bit hard, isn't it? So if I haven't got faith, am I not pleasing God? Well, no, because it says it there. "For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who seek him." So if we're diligent and we seek him and our faith is growing, we'll please him and we'll see these things come to fruition. So point number 3. Really, I'm just really thankful to God, really, and what he's done to help me understand the second part of this scripture, which says, "But we will be with you, be courageous and act." So this is the Ezra scripture. The second part says, "But we will be with you, be courageous and act." And all of those blockers that I talked about before can be unblocked or enabled or somehow made lighter, because you need to have people around you. And I'm just really thankful to God, because he's given me in the last few weeks a really new revelation about the importance of friendships and the importance of being stronger together. And that, you know what? It's okay to have friendships. And I'm just so pleased that, you know, I'm in that place. And it is a real freedom place, because over the years we've lost friendships because we've been told we couldn't have them. And now I'm in a place where I know, and from seeking God and from seeing some new things in scripture, that friendships are good, and in particular those friendships that are fueled by faith. So, yeah, I've got friendships in my life that are fun friendships. I've got people that stand by me. But the important ones are the ones where you're together and you're standing in faith. You're on the journey together. God has placed you together because he needs you to be together for a particular reason. So relying on others and having people around you is not a sign of weakness. We all need people alongside us. Even Jesus needed a team around him, the disciples. And even within that team, he had his inner circle. That was okay too, that he had people that were close to him. I don't think we read much about the conversations that they might have had together, or whether Jesus said, "Oh, do you think I should do this? Do you think I should?" I don't know whether that happened, but I guess it probably did. And he had those people that stood by him. And Deuteronomy 32, verse 30 says, "How could one have chased 1,000? But 2 put 10,000 to flight." And this is what this is all about, really. So this is about the question around who is supporting you, cheering you on. Can we see that? Who's cheering you on? Enabling you, empowering, encouraging you to act. There'll be those key people in your life. And I'd just like to call out one of my friendships. And that's the friendship that Dave and I have developed with Rich and Kim. We've known Rich and Kim a long time, coming up 30 years. That's a long time. But it's only really been, and they've been our friends and all the rest of it, but it's only been in the last 6 years that we started to go on a real journey of friendship together. And that was because God wanted us to be together, to outwork a purpose that 6 years ago we didn't know we would be here together, leading this church in this way. But God knew. At that time we wouldn't have, we were too in the midst of the circumstances we're in that brought us together to start to develop that friendship of faith and encouragement and the starting on the journey together. And it's just great. And yes, we'd have fun in one another's company. We hang out, we do normal stuff and all of that. But actually the main part of why we're together is because of faith and because of the journey that God's given us together as a team. And we're together both in times of celebration and success, and we have lots of those at the moment, and we're, you know, continually praise God together for what he's doing. But also, we're there to challenge one another. So, you know, we will have those difficult conversations. You know, the iron sharpening iron, as it says in Proverbs 27 and verse 17. We sharpen one another in our faith. And that's not to be unkind to one another or to pull one another down. It's to raise us up to where we need to be in God. And I'm just really thankful for what God has given us, that is a real faithful friendship, as opposed to just soft-pedaling one another and all the rest of it. And it's great, and I thank God for it. So in Scripture, we can see many examples of special friendships. And again, I'm just like, oh gosh, yeah, people were friends in the Bible. That's great. There was Elijah and Elisha. They were great friends. Timothy and Paul, Ruth and Naomi. And the really important example that I'd like to just reference is David and Jonathan. And in 1 Samuel 18 and verse 1 to 6, it says, "As soon as he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David, and his armour, and even his sword and his bow and his belt. And David went out and was successful wherever Saul sent him, so that Saul set him over the men of war. And this was good in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants." There's a lot of Saul and Saul there. Yeah. But what that's trying to say is that, you know, Jonathan loved David as himself, with deep within his soul. And God will place people in our lives that we can be like that with. And also what I love about Jonathan was he gave of himself to David to enable David to be successful. He gave him resources. He gave him his clothes. He gave him the sword for the fight. Who are you doing that for? Has God called you to be Jonathan to David at this time? Again, you might want to seek God on that. But again, another couple of questions on this. So have you got the right people around you? Particularly if you're seeking God for something, so God's put something in your hands, a matter of responsibility. Have you got the right people around you that are going to encourage you in that, in the right way? Do you need to add to the people that are around you at the moment? Because there might be somebody sitting here that actually God's called to be with you for this moment in time, to go on that particular part of the journey. Where are your faith-fueled relationships and friendships? Yes, they're good in the church. I have a particular friendship outside of here which I would say is still faith-fueled, even though my friend Maxine is not a Christian. She encourages me. I'm her line manager, but she encourages me in her management of the team and in her work that we're doing in just a really enabling way. And I'm, again, really thankful for her. Who is behind you saying, "You've got this thing, but I've got you"? Who is lifting up your arms? We talked about it the other night when Sue so lovingly said that Sally had lifted up her arms in that time. Who is doing that for you? Do you need to be asking God to show you the friendship that is instrumental to your future and your destiny? That is the friendship full of faith to support and challenge you on the journey, to move you forward in your faith, to stand with you, to believe for the miracle. You know, Pete and Michelle, again, stood with them to believe for that miracle. And it's just an amazing just expression of what God can do in the situation where you've got a faithful friend. Okay, that was family, but they were full of faith for what they were going to see. They were full of faith that what God said would be done in that situation. Have you got people standing around you that can do that? So in conclusion, there's a number of thoughts that you need to probably go away and have a think about. So if you don't know what the things are that you're responsible for at this time, or you're standing in faith for, then good to go and find out what those are. If you don't know how you're progressing against the things that God has given you, again, go and find out, seek God, get him to show you what the end looks like, what the outcomes are. Ask him how you can overcome your fear, your apathy, or the lack of faith. But most importantly, remember, you don't need to do it alone. And I've got a bit of a cheesy quote here. It's something we heard from Brian Houston on the telly the other morning. The right choices in your life, the right voices in your life will help you to make the right choices. So remember that, you know, it is so important. So do you need to, I wrote this down and it's probably a bit flippant, but it says, do you need to review who is in your team at this stage of the journey? Because I think whilst people will journey with you for the long haul, there will be people that will come in and out, and that's not to say then they don't become your friends, it's just at a moment in time they're more instrumental in getting you to the next stage. Who do you need to make yourself available to as a faithful friend? I know God has given me some people that in the natural I wouldn't normally kind of, I suppose, be in my friendship group, or, you know, people that I would genuinely hang out with. But God has given them to me because I need to be faithful to them and stand with them until things come to a resolution. So we're all entrusted with things that we need to act on and take responsibility for. We all have people and need people who will stand alongside us to cheer us on. But we need to be courageous and strong. And the last part of the scripture encourages this, to have courage and be strong. And in the UCB notes this week, it says, courage motivates our will and strength accompanies our efforts. So remember that. And then lastly, again, just to encourage you to be strong and courageous. And we are encouraged quite a lot in, particularly in the Old Testament, to be strong and courageous. 1 Chronicles 28 verse 20, particularly with a reference to building and to moving forward the kingdom, it says, be strong and courageous and do the work. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. He will see to it that all the work related to the temple of the Lord is finished correctly. Amen.
With a great word like that, is it could just be completely worthless if you don't do anything about it, because it is all about, you know, reflecting, evaluating, making some decisions, making some adjustments, doing stuff. And it's not too late either. A lot of these words are building. So Nikki talked about how at the beginning of the year she captured this thing about the one word, got hold of this one word, got a scripture, and started to organize her life around what she believes God is requiring of her this year. And you might not have done any of that and think, well, how can I kind of get on board now? Well, it's not too late. I mean, it's only February. You know, this is really early on in the year. So if you feel like you're lagging behind, don't be discouraged. Just go to God. Say, God, you know, it's only February. What should I be doing this year? How can I respond to this? Because I think if you're serious about it, you know, if God will reward you. God will give you the grace that you need to outwork the word if you're serious enough about the word. If you're half-hearted, if you're lazy, you're not going to get anything out of it. You just won't. I'm telling you, you know. Bible's very clear. You learn this word will bear fruit if you want it to bear fruit and you're prepared to do what's required for it to bear fruit. So Nikki, I was really, really blessed by that, and I hope you were too. And think about it, take it on board, ask God to help you to, you know, what adjustments do I need to make? Let's pray and then we'll finish. Father, I just thank you for today. Thank you for all that we have experienced this morning in your presence, during the worship, during the word, Father. And I just pray that, Lord, we will honour you and honour Nikki, Father, this morning, as we take hold of this word and we think and reflect and we seek you, Lord, as to how we should be responding individually, Lord, in our own lives. So, Lord, help us and bless us. Bless us the rest of this day, Lord, I pray, and the week ahead of us, as we just thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Dave, is there anything else you wanted to say? Good. Well, okay.